This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday Savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus Leaf Blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus Leaf Blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV, and be transported to your happy place with iHeart Radio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Welcome to Criminalia, a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio. Hello, and welcome to Criminalia, where this season we are exploring the lives and motivations of some of the most notorious lady poisoners throughout history.
I'm Holly Fry.
And I'm Maria Tremarchi.
And in today's episode, we are going back to 17th century Italy, specifically to Rome, to look at the life of a woman named Hieronima Sbarra, who went by the professional name La Sbarra.
So we'll be honest here at the very top of the episode. Outside of her work with poisons, we don't actually know a whole lot about La Sbarra. We don't know where she was born. Her first name is Greek, but is that where she hailed from before settling in Rome? How did she learn her trade? Was she married? Did she have children? We don't have any of these answers.
Now, here's the tricky part. If you start to do a little bit of poking around, it is easy to think that there are, in fact, answers to those questions. But here's the problem with La Sbarra. Her story and her life throughout its history have gotten intertwined with another famous poisoner that may sound familiar, Giulia Tofana. So you have heard that name before if you've been listening to the show, because we talked about Giulia in an episode earlier this season.
And it's really, really easy to see why the two women are so confused with one another. There are some really big similarities. The biggest overlap, though, is their work. Poison and politics were incredibly intertwined in this period in Italy, but neither woman was in the poison's business to become wealthy or to become powerful.
Giulia and La Sbarra were both known for supplying poisons to women around Rome, and their clients were mostly women who wanted to get out of their marriages. There was a subtle difference in their efforts, though. While Giulia tended to help women out of abusive situations, La Sbarra was available to help women become wealthy widows.
And because they were contemporaries, that makes the information in many historical records a little wonky, too. For instance, some accounts suggest that Giulia was a student of La Sbarra. Some suggest it was the other way around. But honestly, to us, it doesn't look like either of those scenarios was actually true. What we do know for sure, though, is that they operated during the same period of time. And interestingly, they were actually even executed in the same year, although it was in unrelated circumstances, but
both for poison.
So it's a little early, but we're going to go ahead and take a quick break here. And that's so that when we return, you'll have everything lumped together because we're going to set the scene of Rome at this time in history and how La Spara fit into it. Hey, everybody, it's Holly. Listen, I've been doing stuff on stage since I was a kid, which means that I have been doing my makeup since I was a kid. And I can turn out a look when I need to, but on my day-to-day, I really like to keep it a little more relaxed and low-key. I don't have time for a full face most of the time. But that also means that Thrive Cosmetics can have me covered no matter what I'm doing, whether I'm doing something on stage, like I have an appearance or a live show, or I'm just running to the grocery store. Something in their line is perfect. And what I really love and what's important to me is that they are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free. And to me, cruelty-free is very important in the cosmetics I use. I mentioned that I've been doing my makeup for a long time. I've gotten older in that time. And one of the things that I've done to refresh my look is switch over to their Brilliant Eye Brighteners and use something like a rose gold shade to really like go all around my eye and then just blend it out and get a daytime smoky look. It makes me look a little more youthful and more refreshed. And it's just easy as pie. And it means that I don't have to mess with a whole ton of products. Refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics, luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/criminalia. That's thrivecosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/criminalia for 10% off your first order.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco-Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Welcome back to Criminalia.
Okay, so I'm going to set the scene a bit for this time in Rome. The good, the bad, and the ugly.
And all of it.
This was a time when there were witch hunts. There were some very creative methods of torture, such as boiling people to death. And there was also a plague epidemic sweeping through the city. So kind of a dicey time to live in Rome.
Right. So this was also a time when the Catholic Inquisition was very, very, very active. So if you're imagining just how active, so in 1633, they tried Galileo and found him, and we quote this, vehemently suspect of heresy. So you're probably thinking Galileo, heresy, because we're taught that Galileo was a groundbreaking thinker of his time. That charge may sound a little bit ludicrous, but it really did happen.
Yeah, and they tried to force him to recant his idea of heliocentrism, which, of course, was his concept that the Earth and the planets revolved around the sun, which sits at the center of the universe. And if you know Galileo's story, you know that he refused to recant it, saying, quote, "I do not believe that the same God who has endowed us with senses, reason, and intellect has intended us to forego their use."
And this is also worth considering. This was only about 20 years after Galileo observed the moon through a telescope and wrote about it. He was literally starting the field of modern astronomy in a time when astrology was a science. So he was completely blowing people's minds, if you can imagine. His observations and efforts to understand the heavens scientifically meant that a lot of long-held religious beliefs were being subverted by science. And that meant that he was upsetting people in power for really quite a long time with all of this, thus the heresy charge.
But this is not a Galileo show, delightful and interesting though his story may be. But look, not everything was going wrong in Italy at this time. This is also a time when art was really flourishing. The Renaissance period, which was from the late 14th and into the 15th centuries, produced amazing writers and artists that we still are in awe of today. And by the time we get into the 17th century, when La Spara was living in Rome, it was the time of Baroque Rome, when architects, artists, and urban planners were being celebrated. This was a bustling city. The printing press had been around for quite some time, right? Gutenberg had invented it in the mid-1400s, which means there was mass production of books, pamphlets, and newspapers. It was also a time when papal patronage transformed Rome.
A lot of, when you visit Rome, a lot of the sculptures that you see that are there now come from this period. It's such an influential time for the Romans. And of course, it was also a time of poison. Right? I mean, this is our show. We got to get to it at some point. Poison was a part of everyday life in Italy, not just in Rome. And if poison and poisonings were an art form during this time, you could probably say that La Spara and Giulia Tofana were the finest of their craft. And I like to think that if one of them was the Beatles, then the other one was the Rolling Stones. Like they came up together.
Though we mentioned that there has been confusion in the historical record about these two women, there was probably no confusing them if you passed them on the street. It has always been suggested that Giulia was known for being a great beauty, while by all accounts, La Spara she's often described as like a little old woman who's kind of ugly. People frequently referred to her as a hag in their writings about her. I'm going to take
so
back
mean.
That word for all of us.
I know. Hag is such a terrible term. Anyway, so she was known as a hag, but she was also known around the city as a sorceress or a witch, depending on who, you know, which version you wanted to take at that time. She was an astrologer. She was a fortune teller. But those were actually her side gigs. She was best known as being the head of an all-female secret society that was a lot. I mean, it was a lot deadlier than like my knitting circle, even though those needles were pointy. Most of the women who attended were young, and they came from some of the most elite and wealthy families in the city.
Yeah, my stitch and bitch looks pretty benign at this point.
But, I know, right? I'm like, the things I could do with that crochet hook, you don't want
right?
to know.
Listen, I got very nice dressmaker shears.
Oh, no. I was just thinking, I didn't even think of the dressmaker shears. Like, it could cause some damage there. But anyway, sorry, go ahead.
But I never will, because nothing touches those shears but fabric. I don't want to dull the blade. So a few of the stories of La Spara's folklore suggest that she took the wealth of these women into consideration when opening her doors to the ladies of Rome, and kind of felt that those who were a little more upper class were less likely to talk about the doings of the society than those who were just part of the masses, right? They had more to lose if somebody blabbed.
Sure.
Is this true? Maybe, but also maybe not. There's no substantiation.
So there had to be a reason why these women were collecting at her house. And it wasn't to share recipes or to play games like Bunko used to be popular, you know, like, or whatever the women of Rome did to pass the time in the evening. It was about poisons. Specifically, it was to learn how to effectively use poisons. And even more specifically, how to kill off a husband to become a wealthy widow. Here's the big difference. Well, one of the big differences between La Spara and Julia. Julia was an apothecary, and she focused on helping women get out of abusive situations. And this time in Italy, there was no such thing as divorce. Regardless of whether it was through unnatural means, the teachings of a secret society, or the potions of an apothecary, to get out of your marriage, you needed your spouse to die.
And if you were looking to get wealthy through it and you wanted to affect it, La Spara was your girl. So although this is not mentioned in most tellings of La Spara's life, some stories do suggest that she actually used that side hustle of fortune telling to drum up interest in her poisonous society. So,
which I think is really kind of interesting.
It's a very... I just picture her going, I have a synergized marketing approach.
Exactly. Right.
She would tell fortunes, and in doing so, she would gain women's trust, and she would let them know that she had a solution to their problems. And when they were lured in by that, with that, there was another member to the secret society. So this is another, we don't know if it's true. It's certainly plausible. But it's also still also very plausible that the fortune telling was just a way to support herself with diversified revenue streams. Like, she basically was just making sure she had money coming in from as many ways as she could.
They met regularly, perhaps even nightly, at La Spara's home, where she would supply the instruction and she would supply the poison. So as Julia Tofana's poison was known as Acqua Tofana, the drops that La Spara would dole out were, and this is a big maybe because the accounts on this name vary. They were possibly known as Acquetta di Perugia, which basically translates into water of Perugia or Perugian water. And Perugia, if you're not aware, is a city in Italy.
La Spara primarily worked with a liquid poison that she made herself, and she primarily used arsenic as its main ingredient.
Of course she did.
Of course she did. We talk about arsenic all the time.
Let's talk about it some more.
We're just going to rename the show The Arsenic Files. And that's because arsenic has a very long history in agriculture, in homicides, and more. We've covered it ad nauseum on the show. We talk a lot about rat poison, all of the things.
Yeah, all the time.
For centuries, it's been an ingredient in insecticides, rodent poison, wood preservatives, pigments in paint, wallpaper, ceramics. There were also some interesting off-label uses, of course.
Yes.
Which gave the poison its very ominous nickname that we have also used before, inheritance powder.
So, like Holly was just saying, we talk a lot about the symptoms of arsenic poisoning. But today, I thought maybe we could get into the fundamentals of what it actually does to your body when you consume it, accidentally or not accidentally. So arsenic, it works something like this. So it's really all about sulfur, actually. And I'll explain this because following calcium and phosphorus, sulfur is the third most abundant mineral in your body. And it's what's known as an essential element, which means it's something your body needs to keep itself alive.
And because arsenic is so strongly attracted to sulfur, binds right to it. So when that happens, your body begins to lose its ability to function properly. And that, of course, can cause a whole bunch of problems. Problems that you have heard us talk about a lot in other episodes.
A lot.
Everything from vomiting and abdominal pain to organ failure.
I'm sure there's bleeding internally and all those other things that we have talked
Every
about,
Every gross thing that's popped out of our mouths in relation to this. And as we have said, these are all symptoms that often mimic other conditions, from something as benign as food poisoning to something as serious as kidney disease.
Because it lacks color, it lacks odor, it doesn't have a taste when you mix it into food or drink, it became a super popular poison and stayed that way for centuries. And it didn't really hurt that it was so readily available, that it was available to anyone and everyone in all classes of society, and you really didn't need very much. A fatal dose, we've talked about this before, it's really just about the equivalent in size of a pea, which is less than a tenth of an ounce. So it's just a teeny tiny bit. And Laspara, it wasn't like she was handing out poisons by like the mason jar or gallon or something. She was just supplying drops.
Here's your mason jar of poison. No, it's exactly. it's so much more discreet than that when it's just a few drops.
A few drops.
So beginning in the 18th century, these so-called off-label uses of arsenic started to wane. And that's mostly because the tests for detecting it in bodily fluids, hair, and nails had been developed. We've also talked about that and the many experts that were evolving into the limelight at the time that were sort of becoming famous. But in the 1600s, when Laspara was practicing her trade, those methods had not been developed yet to detect it, and it was most definitely the king of poisons.
So we're going to take a little break to hear from our sponsor, and when we return, we're going to talk about how the authorities infiltrated Laspara's secret society.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off. Starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulge indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Lisa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit lisa.com/iHeart. That's LEESA.com/iHeart.
Welcome back to Criminalia. We are at that point in Lispara's story where someone, we're not naming names, although we wish we could, but somebody spilled the beans.
So now that we know why arsenic was so perfectly deadly, we're going to go back to the secret society, right? So Lispara practiced it for years until, well, there's always someone who talks, isn't there? Like one person, several people. Well, you only need the one, but it's possible that several women, depending on the account of the story, disclosed during their Catholic confessional that they had poisoned their husbands. And despite the rules of the confessional, where the confession is supposed to be between the penitent and their God, the local priests became alarmed and notified the authorities. And in this instance, those authorities weren't like your local cops. They were Pope Alexander VII and the papal authorities, who took immediate interest in what the secret of the secret society really was, which was a place where women learned how to use poisons.
So following some cursory investigation, the papal authorities discovered that there did seem to be an awful lot of young widows living in Rome, mostly wealthy, and most whose young and presumably healthy husbands had suddenly become ill and died. And exactly how they ascertained this, like what their data gathering mechanism was, we don't really know. Your guess is as good as ours. We don't know if they went door to door, hey, I do know a young widow.
I was just thinking that. Like, there's two young women on my street who don't seem to be married anymore, and they just got to put that all together.
They have ready cash. They seem very liquid. But nevertheless, they put together enough information that they were definitely very suspicious.
Naturally, their next step was to get inside the society. So to find out exactly what was going on during those secret meetings, they set up a trap. They hired a young, well-heeled woman to infiltrate the group, and she feigned extreme distress over the infidelities of her wealthy and ill-tempered husband. And Lispara, who wasn't suspicious of this at all, she helped women all the time, invited her in and included her in that evening's How to Poison Your Husband seminar. She also gave her a few drops of a colorless, tasteless liquid poison to take with her on her way out.
Of course, she immediately brought those drops back to her bosses with the papal authorities. And when those drops were analyzed, the liquid was, as they hoped and suspected, a slow-acting poison.
They really did hope.
Lispara and a dozen of her associates and pupils were, of course, immediately implicated in running a poison ring.
You know, I mean, we're in Rome in the mid-1600s, and there was, of course, torture. Torture during the 17th century in Italy was an entirely legal way to force a confession. You wanted to force a confession, but under Roman law, you couldn't have a conviction without having a confession. So there were several favorite methods of drawing one out.
While torture practices were frequently used to punish heretics, it was open season on anyone, really. This was considered an art form. Crucifixion was by far one of the most common forms of torture in Roman times, although there were many, many methods to choose from. And to torture a confession out of Lispara, she was put on the rack.
Despite being punished on one of the chief instruments of torture at the time in Rome, Lispara didn't confess to committing any crimes at all. However, one of her accomplices in the society, a woman named La Gratiosa, did confess under torture. And that's really all they needed under the law. So all 12 women, as well as Lispara and La Gratiosa, were hanged in 1659.
But you may be wondering, what about the women who participated in the society and those who had killed their husbands, but maybe were not the instructors? Those women certainly were not overlooked by the authorities. In addition to the hangings that Maria just mentioned, there was also the matter of the larger group that had taken part in Lasparra's instruction. These were wealthy women of Rome, and they were considered guilty, but to a lesser degree because of their status in society. In total, there were about 30 or so women who were publicly whipped through the streets of the city, and some of the highest class women were fined and banished from the city. An additional 9 women were ultimately hanged for poisoning a few months later, allegedly also associated with Lasparra's society.
So, despite the torture and the hangings and the whippings and the banishment, the methods used by the authorities to take the hard line against poisonings really didn't actually do anything to stop the poisonous practices across the city. Lasparra, and for that matter, Julia Tofana as well, were certainly not the only vendors in town. And Roman women and men continued to poison their spouses and family members as a way to gain wealth and power. But at the end of the day, the authorities were doing the same thing.
Rome. Poisonous Rome.
Rome in the 17th century. An interesting place to be. So, I hear that you have a beverage called the Poison Society Punch that maybe the ladies could have sipped on while they were learning about their poisons.
That's exactly correct. Awesome. For What's Your Poison this week, I couldn't get away from the idea of entertaining a bunch of people in your home as you taught them how to poison. And I love the idea of the Poison Society. I want shirts.
I want them to have had a secret knock.
Right.
I want all of it.
I totally do. And I thought it would be fun. Of course, I think about what one might serve as refreshments at such an event.
Always the host,
so,
Holly.
Yes, I came up with Poison Society Punch. This is a super duper simple recipe, and it is because the thinking here is that it's something I just made myself. I will tell you, I made myself one as a test. I took a sip and I immediately made my second one. I didn't even wait to finish the first one. And I literally walked over to the couch to sit down and watch TV with 2 drinks in my hand, which probably sounds terrible, but it was really delicious.
So Holly, by the way, when she was doing this, texted me and I was like, she's got to be at least like 2 or 3 punch drinks in at this point.
Just 2. And the good thing is it's not a heavy hitter, because if you're serving punch at a party, you don't want to get everybody wasted. You just want to keep like chatter flowing and keep everybody in a good mood. Like that's the whole point of an alcoholic punch usually.
Especially at a poison party. Like you need to keep people kind of...
keep your wits about you.
Right. Not necessarily sober, but you got to know what's going on.
Yes. So, and also, again, because it is a punch, it has to be easy to throw together and something you can scale up. So even though I only made them as singular drinks, which is how I'll describe it, you'll see that it's very easy. If you are like, that sounds delicious, I want to make it myself for a huge punch bowl, you can scale it up, no problem. So it's literally 4 ounces of cranberry juice, 4 ounces of champagne or sparkling wine of your choice, and 1 ounce of amaretto.
We have not used amaretto yet this season, have
we? I reached deep into the liquor cabinet and was like, why have I not used this yet? Like legit, again, so delicious. I took one sip and was like, oh, I'm making another now. And it is, it's not heavy. I also used a diet cranberry juice because I don't like a lot of sugar. So it was not a very heavy drink for me at all, but regular cranberry juice would also work. Here's what I also like about this recipe. Aside from the fact that you can easily just like multiply those simple 3 ingredients to make larger batches, you can also do a non-alcoholic version really easily if you're not a drinker, or if you want to, I don't know, serve it to underage poison learners.
Pregnant poison learners.
Right. Could just do cranberry juice and like a sparkling grape juice, and then I would put in a little bit of almond extract to get that little bitter almond flavor that you get from the amaretto, and it would be equally delicious, I think. So yes, that's my Poison Society punch that I'm now going to serve at every party I
labeled poison free.
Right. It was just super duper yummy. It's like it's both crisp without being bitey, and it's also like got a nice soft mouth feel. because of the bubbles. The tartness of both the cranberry and sometimes for some people, champagne tastes a little bit tart to them. The amaretto takes that out completely. Like it just sweetens it up enough that you don't get any tart. So it's really easy to drink a lot, which is also why you don't want to put more amaretto in it than that, because you would end up very drunk very fast. And we don't want that. Drink responsibly always.
Two drink minimum at the secret society party.
But yeah, that's that is.
She hands you your little tickets at the door. She's
right,
like, get two.
No more than this. Two drink max, and then you're out. Relaxed enough to be willing to talk about poison with other people. Not so relaxed that you blab it when you walk out later.
Right. Oh, la grandiosa. She had too much.
She had a third. She had a third. But she's like, "Are you gonna drink that? No, I'll take
it. There's a little bit left. I'll just take it home with me."
And then she went right to confession and blabbed everything.
Then she's like, "How did I get on this rack? I don't know what happened."
We hope you have enjoyed this and that this punch sounds delightful. And if you make it, share it with me on Twitter. Just tag it #Criminalia. I'll find it. and hopefully we will also see you back here next week. If you would like to subscribe to the show and you haven't yet, that is as easy as pie, or I guess as easy as punch. You can do that on the iHeartRadio app at Apple Podcasts or wherever it is you listen.
Criminalia is a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from Shondaland Audio, please visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.